cannot have the microphone fall over on the first day back. Oh, my God.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, my God.
I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back at long last to Make Me Smart. Welcome back.
I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Is that not Friday? How you would have done it?
No, that's kind of close to how I would have done it. It is Friday of, oh, my God, the longest week any of us have had in a very, very long time. Did not actually plan on doing this today, but after Wednesday, Molly and I kind of said, you know what? We need to do this. And I'll be completely honest with you. Yeah, we need our people. I need to do this for me. I imagine you, Ms. Wood, need to do it for you, because this has become, as we said, I think at the end of last year, it's become an outlet for us. And I kind of missed it.
I mean, that's just true, guys. Like, we're live on YouTube right now. We do not have an agenda. There are no links in the rundown. We just missed our peeps and each other and just wanted to come and have a beer. Because really, Sausage here, like, we don't talk that much. This is when we hang out. This is me and Kai being buddies right now.
That's totally true. We're podcast buddies. We're not actual buddies.
We're podcast buddies, which is good. It keeps the relationship strong. You can't hang out too much. I learned this lesson the hard way.
That's right.
It's important.
Oh, okay. That's a whole podcast.
Yeah, totally. A lot of you also tweeted and emailed us and asked for a show. And so we just sort of like, so look, today, Monday is our official day back.
Yeah.
But today is the day that we just wanted to come and have economics on tap and talk about the things, maybe some feelings.
Are you having beer? What are you having?
So I got new glasses. I've decided clear is over and cool Danish green with zebra stripes is in.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just having my last of those Founders Porters.
There was one left in the fridge,
and I was like, how perfect. Today's the day.
How perfect. That's awesome. I've been having the very last Stone Tangerine Express. They do this weird thing where they print it upside down just because Greg Cook, the founder of the company, and a guy who makes great beer, likes to do weird things. So I hope all y'all are drinking something. There was somebody in the YouTube comments making their own homemade eggnog, which honestly would scare me.
I know. I kind of want to try it, though. It's also, by the way, it's my last, it's not my last, it's my Kai mug, my Kai PA
glass. Yeah.
I only have one pint glass.
can I say, by the way, just very quickly, I know we're just kind of dithering before we get to the news.
Yeah.
For those of you who actually heeded the call that Molly and I made repeatedly at the end of last year about becoming a member of Marketplace, might I just recommend those face masks? Marketplace has you covered, face masks. Comfortable. They fit. For those of you with large noses, there's a thing that goes over the large nose. It's actually excellent. I would just like to point that out. That's it. Just plugging it.
It's pretty good. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but if you can do it on the logo, what I have found about that mask, I did like a 4.5 mile hike the other day, is that they're kind of like the Old Navy jeans of masks. Like if you wear them too long, they just start stretching out. Like, you know how like low quality jeans by the end of the day, they're just loosey goosey and baggy. And that kind of does happen with the mask. It's better for short errands than for long. Long
excellent,
hikes.
Excellent point.
Sorry, fair enough.
And yeah, I get the rag on the logo. You get the rag on the swag. Yeah, totally.
We can iterate.
Okay, so look, Molly and I had a very quick Slack exchange as I was driving home. Let me be clear: I was not actually driving; I was still in the parking lot. About whether or not we were actually going to bring news items to talk about, and I slacked her back and I said, "Molly,
just like that,
because gestures wildly the news." But then this afternoon, like just as we were starting to do this, freaking news broke. And it sounds ridiculous to say this, but it's a big, big deal.
Well, the fact that it's such a big deal is also why it's such a big deal. So Twitter, the headline, Twitter has banned Donald Trump from the platform. Banned the real Donald Trump account, which is astonishing. Put up a blog post and said, you know, the permanent ban, explaining the permanent ban of the real Donald Trump and basically saying we fear that there is going to be incitement of further violence and he's gone. And I honestly think
it's amazing
that part of the reason. It's amazing. Let's do feelings first and then analysis. I have thoughts.
Okay.
So many thoughts.
So I have some feelings. Number one is I don't know what's going to happen in the news environment now that President Trump is no longer driving the agenda. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous and not very friendly to the news media thing to say, but look, he's been the assignment editor for a lot of journalistic organizations for 4 years, 5 years, basically, since he came down the escalator. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Look, it was going to change on January 20th anyway, because Joe Biden was not going to do this. And let's be clear, the president of the United States can release a statement out of the White House anytime he wants and reach the entire planet. But this seems momentous. That's what I got.
Yeah. What I think is so interesting, too, is I tweeted something like this one of the days of this week, which have all run together now. But when Twitter first announced its suspension, 12-hour suspension, and Facebook announced its 24-hour suspension, which is now indefinite, which was just basically like Facebook and Twitter have determined that the president of the United States is too dangerous to have unfettered access to the American people, and Congress has adjourned. And like, if you ever needed an example of the power of these platforms, it's that actually Josh Barrow just tweeted in response right as we were going live. He said, yesterday, Twitter impeached the president, and today they voted to remove him. Because when the president's silenced on social media, like, you're right. I mean, all the air goes out of the room, and you do have to wonder what would have happened if this had happened sooner. But, you know, obviously this information is still spreading. There are a million things still happening. But if anything tells you that the guy is done more loudly than this move right here, I can't think of it yet. He's done. Dude is done.
Let's be clear, he does still have nuclear codes.
Nancy Pelosi is not working on that, apparently. I mean, there were reports.
I know.
Like, think about how astonishing this is. Nancy Pelosi had a conversation with military leadership to say, can we either take his codes away or figure out some other stopgap mechanism?
So this is very interesting. It's also been breaking this
afternoon that they are going to file articles of impeachment Monday. Unless he
Yes, that is true.
They're saying
incitement to insurrection is going to be the charge, just one charge. I actually think the Pelosi thing, on having spoken with Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was kind of showboating. And here's why. As I will discuss extremely briefly in my make me smile moment later, it's not really make me smile, it's making me breathe a sigh of relief. It's not like the president can pick up the phone and nuke Moscow. That's not the way the nuclear system works, number one. Number two, back in 1974, when James Schlesinger was the Secretary of Defense, and he went to the Joint Chiefs and said, hey, if Richard Nixon, in an alcohol-infused and depression-fueled craze in the last days of Watergate, tells you to launch an attack on somebody, all y'all come see me first. Now, that was clearly illegal, right? But Schlesinger was in the chain of command. Nancy Pelosi, for all the import of the Speaker of the House and the Congress, she's nowhere in the chain of command. And I kind of think that was showboating, because it's not like there's a threat. It's not like there's active unrest overseas that we're, you know, other than a war in Afghanistan that's been going on for 20 years, right? So I'm not sure what purpose that served other than showboating, you know?
I mean, there is, I would say, I think we can probably agree at almost every level, just an unbelievably gross display of politics still, on both sides. You know, I am not, and I am not trying to both sides this situation, because display of politics is more gross than being a majority of the Republican House leadership voting to overturn an election while there was still blood on the floor, right? That is the grossest.
Literally
blood on the floor, and two sitting U.S. senators. So, like, I am in no way drawing an equivalency. But obviously there's politics at play here too, because the fact is the Democrats want Republicans to own this. Not to get too far into the politics, but like, this is all on Republicans at this point. And
It's been all on Republicans for 4 years, right? How many times, just to get back to the news of the day, have we heard of this or that Republican politician being presented with a tweet that Capitol Hill reporters actually wound up printing out and showing it to the various GOP senators and congresspeople so they couldn't say they hadn't seen the tweet, right? They said, oh, I haven't seen the tweet. So they started printing them out and saying, oh, well, I have nothing to say about that, right? I mean, I'm too busy passing laws or raising money or whatever. So, look, the Twitter news is a big deal. Can we go back to Wednesday for a minute?
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the
start
of this
whole thing.
We got
a lot to cover. I know. We sort of have to start again back there. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
It was for me, and I don't know how you felt about this, but it was for me, number one, it was sad. Number two, it was kind of paralyzing because as it broke at noon-ish, whatever it was, 11-ish Pacific time, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out what we're going to say on the show about Georgia and all of that stuff, I was kind of paralyzed. It was gripping to watch. It was nauseating to watch. And it was just sad. That was my overwhelming emotion that whole day. And of course I came home and I was doom scrolling and watching the TV and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. I feel like, as always, this show tells us so much about our two personalities, because it may not shock you to know that I went straight to rage. Straight to rage. As I so often do. But I think the big reason I went straight to rage is like, this is... what's really been hard about this is that this is a disinformation story top to bottom. Like, you have to, there is no universe in which you can't actually go all the way back to President Trump's election. And like, that was a disinformation story. His election was the story of information being manipulated and people being manipulated accordingly. And it has been so frustrating to cover this for half a decade and watch people just disappear into the hole of lies and manipulation and propaganda and come out the other side as QAnon cultists and extremists. And to be saying, like, guys, I'm on the internet. It's not even the sneaky internet. It's the full-on internet. And it is obvious that they are planning to attack the U.S. Capitol, right? Like, they wrote down their plan. Mm-hmm. And so along with all of the gaslighting of, like, Trump doesn't really mean it, and trolls don't really mean it when they attack you on the internet, it's not real harassment, Trump is just joking, trolls are just joking. It was like this sort of ongoing, like, it was the moment that, much like, I don't know, just, it just felt like, so all over again, the thing you saw coming, like you saw it coming and nobody stopped it.
Can I ask you about something I heard? I think it was tech this morning, but I don't know, because it was 4:43 in the morning or whatever the hell it was out here.
I thought you were good at that.
Honestly, there's a whole, complete aside, we should do a thing about how people's lives have changed during this pandemic and what they are not going to be willing to give up when things get back to normal. Like, for instance, I'm not going to be willing to give up, instead of running at 6:30 in the morning, I'm not going to go back to running at 5:00 in the morning. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Anyway, sorry. Yep. Let me get back to what I was going to say. But producers, Marissa, Donna, make note. Sorry, brain fart. So I heard you say this on tech either yesterday or this morning. What happens online translating into real life and how we as a society and as an economy and as a political body have not been willing to understand that what happens online translates into real life. And you cited Gamergate. It was this morning, right? Do you think this changes that? Do you think people now fundamentally will come to realize that all the bad acts that happen online will eventually translate into offline real life life?
I mean, Twitter just banned the president. Because.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know, right? Yes, I think that is the case. And for context, the interview that we did was about you know, how different countries have really different rules about hate speech. In Europe, it is broadly, like, there aren't First Amendment protections for hate speech because in those countries, and in Germany in particular, they feel like they have a pretty good handle on where hate speech goes and is nowhere good. And it will obviously take a massive political investment to create those kinds of changes. And we have real questions about what that means. Like, we should still, even in light of how obvious it seems to ban the president from these platforms, have real questions about the fact that Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey have more power than the U.S. Congress to silence a president who they have deemed to be too dangerous to have unfettered access to the United States people. That is still problematic. And so we do have to figure out how to deal with it.
But aren't you grateful that they have that power now? I mean, this goes back to conversations you and I have been having for 4 years, right? Isn't it a good thing that Jack Dorsey finally, after four freaking years of this, woke up and said, whoa, hey, okay, now. I mean, you can debate till the cows come home whether it should have been 4 years ago or today, but they acted, right? Congress, the whole body, right? Dems and Republicans, because you have to take it as a whole, they have not acted. They have not.
And no one has. And the thing is, like, you can definitely debate it until the cows come home. You can debate algorithmic speech. You can debate, like, that they could have just sort of, like, buried the president's tweets, or they could have attached labels 4 years ago, or they could, you know, they've done next to nothing. And to do it now, when the president is essentially done for, you know, on his way out of office, no matter what day in January it actually is still fairly weak sauce. But when it's not President Trump and it's somebody else, right? Like, it still is a nuanced conversation that has to be had. So we have to have it. Don't get me wrong. We have to have it.
Yep.
Because online speech leads to offline consequences. But we have to have it, and it can't just be simple. Yep. Yeah.
Yep, for sure. That should be on your tombstone in 40 years or whatever it's going to be, right? Because that's actually really insightful. And I think the other thing you just said is really smart, which is, look, this was a clear-cut case, and Donald Trump is a danger to this democracy because, oh yeah, he incited an insurrection and an invasion of the United States Capitol building, but it's not going to be that clear-cut next time. It just won't.
Yeah. And there are plenty of people who are saying it's not that clear-cut now. So, although I'm with you, it's pretty clear-cut. I mean, it's not even pretty clear-cut. Like, this happened, and and look, I don't think that this is over, right? Like, other things that are happening on the internet for everyone to read is that the same people are planning to return on January 19th if they're not arrested by then. You know, we don't know what kind of information security nightmare now exists within the U.S. Capitol. We don't know what USB drives were plugged into laptops. We don't know what, you know, malware was installed on computers. Like, there is... And we don't know what people will be emboldened to do as this propaganda makes its way around the internet. And I think things are... Sometimes things take more time than you want. And by things, I mean arrests and accountability. And in some ways, I can understand why, but the accountability needs to be fast, swift, and terrible.
Yeah. Okay, I don't want to overstay our welcome on our first day back. I do want to, and I think we'll pass on the make me smiles because there's not a lot to smile about. But since I alluded to it before, I want to point out a Twitter thread by Mark Ambinder, who's written for a bunch of things, and he's written a book on the evolution of the president's nuclear power. And I will commend to your attention, and Tony will put this on the show notes page, a Twitter thread he wrote today about actually how it would happen if the president decided he wanted to launch a nuclear attack. And it's not like he picks up the phone and then the missiles start flying. And you should take some solace in that. That's all I wanted to say. That's where I am.
It is helpful.
That's what I got.
It is very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be done?
Okay, so we're not going to smile.
Are we gonna be done?
I didn't bring anything. I was like, ooh, we just wanted to hang out a little bit. That is it for us, though, and we'll be back next week on Monday. This feels actually kind of like when we decided to go daily and we were basically like, we have too many thoughts and feelings to do this once a week. So we'll be back on Monday, regular shows resume. And on Tuesday, we're going to talk disinformation.
Yeah, we are. And look, Molly knows this sideways, and our guest on Tuesday, Nina Jankowicz, knows it sideways. We're going to talk about how disinformation got us to where we are today. And look, I said on Marketplace this afternoon, this has been a week for the history books, as will next week and the week after. So we should just buckle up, because it's going to be a rough couple of weeks, and take care of yourself and listen to Make Me Smart and Marketplace and Tech and all of that good stuff. And till then, questions, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Okay.
So happy to be back. Yeah. So happy.
Also to have a beer, because it's Friday.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Marissa Cabrera is in charge of this podcast every single day. Tony Wagner does our digital stuff. Ben Hethcote with a beard now. Ben, and I have to tell you, I'm not wild about it, but whatever. He's our video producer, Ethan Barrett. Oh, my God, Ethan's gone. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters.
I know, and you're just like automatically,
I know, I just kind of went there. Erica Phillips does our newsletters, also the Make Me Smart skill on your smart devices.
And Erica Phillips is so great. Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, also so great. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Senior producer is Donna Tam, who was like, all right, fine, I'll let you go live tomorrow. And the executive director of On Demand is Sitaran Yepez.
Oh, that was damn near perfect timing, can I tell you, on the first day back? Bang.
I know. Look at that. And my dogs did not start going ape doodle until just now.
I know.
Amazing. Mine either.